The sermon text from today's gospel reading, the 6th chapter of Mark, the 42nd verse, and they all ate and were satisfied. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So this feeding of the 5,000, and as the scripture records for us, there were 5,000 men. We don't know how many women and children are there, but if there was, you know, one woman to each man and one child, you're looking at, what, 15,000 people present at this miraculous feeding, right? This feeding of the 5,000, at least is what we term it, is the only gospel, the only miracle that's listed in all four of the Gospels. And what's this text helping us do? This text is helping us to anticipate the heavenly banquet that is to come. So this text is helping us look forward to what's going to be ours in the heavenly realms. Right? So being fully satisfied. Right? The people were fully satisfied in their bellies, but when we look forward to heaven, we will be fully satisfied, period. Completely satisfied. We will be free of all sin, free of all the effects of sin. And so, you know, it's the heavenly banquet. That's why it's called that, because we will be fully satisfied. There are words, the more strict translation, instead of ask the people to sit down, Jesus has asked the people to recline. And it was the habit of the disciples, or the Jewish people, I mean, to recline at the Passover meal, right? And so you have these things that are evoking. There's the green grass that puts us in mind, maybe throws us back, makes us think of the Garden of Eden just a little bit, just a little echo of the Garden of Eden. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God in the flesh. So there's a meal here. A meal with who? A meal with God on earth. And we are reminded then of when Moses took the elders of Israel up on the mountain. And they ate and drank with God and they did not die. Here's a time of rest and refreshment for the people. They were hungry. They were tired. They needed some food. They needed to be refreshed and fed for the day, right? And Jesus asked his disciples to pass out this food. But kind of begs the question, what about Jesus? And here in this text, Jesus is tired. The disciples are tired. They're exhausted. They were going off into a desolate place for their own rest and recuperation. And they're not getting that. And so think about Jesus for a minute. We think about this miraculous feeding, but what point in life is Jesus at? Right? What's going on in his life? Well, this is a time of year for Passover. It's 1 year now, the Passover season, but 1 year before Jesus is going to be crucified. He knows he's going to die this death. He knows he's going to die for the people. Jesus knows what's coming. Jesus had sent the 12 out on their missionary journey. They had come back while the disciples were gone. Jesus got the news of the death of John the Baptist. And now Jesus' ministry in and around the region of Galilee was drawing to a close. It was coming to an end, and there was a lot of excitement about Jesus. Now, of course, most of it was just plain curiosity. A lot of people didn't have faith in him yet, but they were really fascinated by him, and they knew he could do things for them. Jesus was at the pinnacle of his popularity, and that, though popularity, did not necessarily equate to approval. We know that the people began to whisper about Jesus. Is he the prophet that was to come? And they were looking for this prophet who was to come into the world. They were looking for one who was greater than Moses, greater than David, greater than Solomon, who would bring the nation of Israel to prominence again and fill their bellies and satisfy all their desires with good things. Now, that's how they had read the scripture. It was a false reading, nonetheless, but they had bought into that. We know that after this feeding of the 5,000, the people wanted to bum-rush Jesus and make him king by force if necessary. And that wasn't God's plan. To make Jesus the king was the prerogative of God the Father, not the prerogative of the people. Of course, the people weren't happy about it, but it's the way it was. And in short order, when the people don't get what they want, many of them, after this episode in Jesus' life, begin to abandon Jesus and lose their trust in Him. So, all of this is in play in Jesus' life right now. All of this, Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen. He teaches the people, feeding them spiritually. He feeds them physically, regardless of how tired and exhausted He Himself is. He looks at them and has compassion upon them. His heart goes out to them, right? Feeds 5,000 plus people. And then what does Jesus ask the disciples to do? Jesus asks the disciples to go pick up the leftovers. They take baskets. And as I was reading up on this, apparently when they traveled, right, people in this time, they had like a basket, like on a strap, you know, a basket. And this is what you put your food in and the stuff you were carrying on your journey with you. And so you had this little basket, a carrying basket. And presumably these were the baskets that they went around and picked up the leftovers, put them in their baskets, and came back to Jesus. They filled these baskets out of the abundance that Jesus had given. And likely, since Jesus sent them out to pick up the leftovers, when they brought their leftovers in and came back to Jesus, each of the disciples, I guess it's a good assumption, shared what they had picked up with Jesus. So the 12 shared what they had with Jesus. Now, this is just a little aside as you're thinking about these things. It seems reasonable that the disciples fed Jesus with the remainder of that which Jesus had miraculously supplied in the first place. And so, take away this, if you will. Give back to Jesus a little bit of what He gave you in the first place. And that's a good reminder for our offerings, because what are our offerings? Our offerings are nothing less than a returning of a bit of what Jesus has given to us in the first place. And another little aside, just one of those little things that, it turns this whole thing on its head. These little Jewish traveling baskets, they had a name in Greek. And in Koine Greek and Biblical Greek, it was, and let's see if I can get the pronunciation kind of right, a kophinos. A little traveling basket, or in the singular, kophanoi. So it's a little traveling basket. If you say it enough, the word becomes familiar to us, and a little bit more familiar to us. It's the root of where we get our word coffin from. Now think about that for a second, right? Who'd have thought to view our coffins that way? A little traveling basket. Huh. It's a completely different way of looking at things and thinking about where are we traveling to. You and I were traveling to heaven. And when we die, our souls go to heaven and our bodies wait here on earth. And while they wait here on earth, they're in a what? They're in a coffin. A traveling basket. There to await one thing. The resurrection of the dead. Now, how is the resurrection of the dead described for us? Isaiah tells us in this way, and it's a very common funeral reading. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make a feast for all peoples, a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine, well-refined. And He will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of His people He will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken, and it will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for Him that He might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. Let us be glad and rejoice in His salvation. In other words, we will eat and be fully satisfied. That's the essence of heaven. It's described in so many different ways for us in the Holy Scriptures, but it is the essence there, being fully satisfied. Moses and the 70 elders of the people saw God, and they ate and drank. At the feeding of the 5,000, the Jewish nation, both rich and poor, noble and commoner, saw God in the flesh, and they ate and they drank. At the feeding of the 4,000, the other miraculous feeding, it was mostly the Gentiles there who were fed, the non-Jewish people. The Gentiles ate and drank with God, and they were satisfied. All people then are invited to the heavenly banquet to eat and drink with the Lord. You and I, each and every one of us, unless Jesus returns first, absolutely, we are going to face our own death. But we can face death without fear. Our bodies, they will go into our little traveling basket. And our souls will go to heaven, there to await the end of time, where in the resurrection we will join God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the feast of eternity, a time when death will be swallowed up forever. And on that last day, the reign of God, now hidden in water and the Word, hidden in with and under the bread and wine, will be made known to each and every one of us, to all. And we will see the glory that is ours, the glory that was given to us before the foundation of the world was laid. We look forward to the feast given for all believers, Jew and Gentile, slave, free, male, female, from every tribe, people, nation, and language. Those who have come out of the great tribulation, those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, those who are clothed in Christ's righteousness, what shall they do? They shall now rest from all their labors. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. How we as the body of Christ, the church militant, long for that banquet. How we long for that rest, which leads us to say that longing does, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. And bring us to those green pastures. Bring us to that banquet hall that we so long for, that we may each eat and be satisfied. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.